A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver. Davis, how was your weekend?
Yeah, it was good. Did stuff. I ran the fastest. No, that's a lie. I ran the furthest I've ever run with my new trainers. There are a lot of caveats to these. I'm taking the wins. I'm taking like my first evers where I can.
Yeah, totally.
I ran 12 kilometers. The next stage this weekend is to run 15 kilometers, which means I need to eat halfway through running.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm going to have you seen these? They're gels.
No.
They're like little gels, like space astronaut food, and I'm going to eat one while running, halfway through the run.
That does not sound good for one's indigestion.
No, well, we'll see. I'm getting quite nervous now about if I need to do a little
poo.
Little poo.
Yeah.
Little poo in the marathon. Do you remember when Paula Radcliffe famously...
She had a wee.
I think she had a full-on poo.
Did she have a poo?
She squatted at the side of the
I remember
track.
The wee, but maybe I'm not thinking of Paula Radcliffe. Maybe I'm thinking of someone else.
Maybe
Who
I'm
Who was
wrong.
The other famous runner, female runner? Not Sally Gunnell.
I have no idea.
Sally Gunnell, by the way, is also a golf term. It's where you hit a ball, but it doesn't really go where you want it to, and it just sort of keeps sort of skidding in the direction you don't really want it to go. It's called an ugly runner or a Sally Gunnell, which is very unfair.
So that was my weekend. How was yours?
Well, I've got a WrestleTalk Get Better for you.
Ooh,
quick
from
update.
You?
So this is from me because I went for my first run since September.
Hey.
So
consistently inconsistent.
That's the way I like to do it. I thought to myself, it's the start of a new year. It's a Saturday. My sister-in-law and her boyfriend are going. We've said we're going to go out for breakfast afterwards. That's more really what's driving me. And so I got up on a Saturday morning. My wife said to me, I was like, do you feel good? Do you feel like you're going to achieve something? I was like, I'm doing this because I have to. This is not fun for me. I'm not doing this because I feel like I'm achieving something. I'm not doing this because I get any fulfillment out of it. I don't want to die early, so I'm doing this.
You told me there would be fried food at the end of the run.
Oh, I'm going to have fried
So I'm bread. Coming out with you.
I had a delicious breakfast at a local cafe in my hometown, and it was excellent.
And none of it was fried?
No. Ooh. Not was anything fried. No, none of it was fried. So, if a bit of a recap. So back in September, Park Run is a 5K run. As many of you or regular listeners will know, I've never run 5K before. So if I had a goal, which I don't, but if I had a goal, it would be I'd like to be able to run 5K without stopping to walk. And if I could do that more than once, that's pretty good going, right?
That's a good first goal, sure.
Well, but yeah, but I've achieved that goal, then I can just...
You can make a new one a little bit further along the fitness scale.
Well, you know, let's literally run before... Well, let's crawl before we can run, or whatever that phrase is.
I'm sure that's the phrase.
I'm 95% sure that's it. So, my first run, I did a 5K in 35 minutes and 19 seconds, which did have a bit of walking in there because running 5K is long.
Which I famously was unimpressed
with. You
were
so down on. You said your exact words were, that is the worst time I've ever heard for a 5K. That's rubbish. You should be ashamed of yourself.
It's not the worst time because, you know, there were sort of morbidly obese people running the marathon, running the run, the 5K thing.
There were children overtaking.
Yeah. So that, and they did it in like an hour. I think there's an hour and a half cutoff point.
I did do a Google yesterday because I've now created a table. Mm-hmm. I think if I create a table in Excel, that might make me do it more because I get to update a table, and that's always
feels
fun.
Nicer.
It does feel nice, yeah. And I Googled what like the average time is for a man of my age to be able to do a 5K. It said 15 minutes. And
No, that's wrong.
Is it?
Yeah. That's elite runner. I'm sure fast people have a really, really, really good time. Like top runners in the country will run like 18, 17 minutes.
I put it at 25 minutes. I think that's a better average.
Okay, yeah. 25 minutes.
So my second run, which was a week later, was 31 minutes and 29 seconds. That was, again, with a bit of walking. Do you want to hear what my
time
was?
That's a great improvement, though.
Do you want to hear what my time was this one for this run?
Yes, please.
Let me find it. Bear with me.
Has it got lost in all your runs there? All three
all
runs?
All three runs. It's because I haven't filed it away correctly in my emails. So this first run since September, so I wasn't expecting anything big, but not only did I run the 5K all the way around and didn't walk at all, I did it in 30 minutes and 54 seconds.
Whoa.
By not doing any exercise, I improved my time.
Nice work.
Which tells you that you don't have to do things to improve.
Let's see how that pans out. And let's not put that down to a blip.
That's a good blip, right?
It's a good blip, but yeah, like if you do it next week, you might be a little bit worse without exercising around it.
Yeah, maybe. Although I did do a lot of stretching because I Marie Kondo'd the S out of my house on the Sunday with my wife.
Does that make you do more stretching?
Well, I had to do a lot of bending.
Because you've got more space.
I had to do a lot of bending, a lot of sitting down to sort things through. And so, like, I'll be honest with you, I'm still struggling to walk a little bit. Like, my calves really hurt.
From tidying.
Yeah, so much tidying, mate.
Do you want to hear my fastest 5K? Because I did that last Tuesday. Mm-hmm. You remember when I ran out the office and I just ran and I came back and I was like, yeah. 22 minutes, 38 seconds.
Wow.
Check out this guy. If I run all the marathon at that rate...
Well, I think that
I'm done very quickly.
I think that's my problem because my sister-in-law's boyfriend, you know, Mickey, he's really
Mickey,
great guy, so cool. I was ahead of him. It's not a race or anything, but I was ahead of him. And then at one point, about sort of like 3.5 kilometers round, he sort of passed me, and we gave a little wave to each other. And then I thought, oh, he's actually a very fit lad. If I can almost keep pace with him, that's probably going to be quite a good little time, right? And then I look down and I look up, he's miles ahead of me. Because he'd paced himself. He said that he reckoned that his run was going to be 4 Iron Maiden songs. So he paced himself for 2 Iron Maiden songs, and then for the second 2 Iron Maiden songs, he went faster, and that's how he was able to do so much better. Whereas I don't really know what that means or how to do that. So I just sort of run, and then I just sort of slow down because I get tired.
I tried to pace my run using songs, and what was problematic is I would get caught up in the music, and I would run at the emotional bits, and then the song would end, and I would crash hard, because it would go into like the acoustic slow bit of the next song, and I'd be like, oh my god, this has brought me down so much, but then by the end of it, and it's a full orchestral thing, or it's Queen, I'm running again.
My wife thinks I drive faster when Slayer's on.
It's possible.
Yeah, she genuinely thinks that I do. At one point, I thought to myself, I'm going to do a bit of a walk in a minute. Like, I'm going to get to that point there, and I'm going to do a walk. And then Never Surrender came on, Stan Bush song from the Kickboxer soundtrack, and I was like, no.
Push through.
Never Surrender. Got to give a quick shout out as well to Shivam Sharma, who you may recognize is the guy you made fun of on this podcast. You did.
We didn't make fun
of. You did. You said his pictures were awful.
They weren't effective in showing us the progress he had made. That's what we were pointing out.
So he sent a follow-up email of where you were sort of making fun of him. He said, I've included my old pictures and new pictures here. If you want more, please tell me, because pics or it didn't happen. I'd love to show you guys my chest, etc. But because I've skipped weight, I have loose skin and I'm very conscious about it, which is why I don't wear slim fit clothes, because in it I look weird. Thank you. So thank you for sending over those images, but you didn't attach them to the email. So the all I've got is that the text of that email. So
I'm also quite,
good effort.
I'm quite anxious about fans sending us in topless pictures. I don't want that. I want them to be clothed. What's the opposite to nudes? Send clothes.
Pictures.
Send normal pictures.
I got a great email here from Dez. Great name, mate.
Dez.
Dez. His name's Derek. So he calls himself Dez.
Dez.
Great, great name, mate. He is sent a follow-up email to Saturday's Wrestle Ramble podcast, which you may have heard if you actually listen to all of our shows. It says, hi, Luke, Ollie, and Laurie. Thanks so much for all the great content. Fully-fledged pod swafter here. Grateful for you guys making my daily commute one of the best parts of my day.
Aww.
Glad we can help. I couldn't help but laugh when Ollie was talking about the attraction and over-sexualization of the Cadbury's Caramel, I think, bunny during Saturday's magazine show from January 12th. My wife has enjoyed taking the mickey out of me for the last couple of years since we went to Cadbury World in Birmingham, and I happened to remark how the Cadbury's bunny was a little bit fit. This was after seeing the version of her in the Cadbury's World 4D screening, in which she is even more alluring than usual. Probably because of her extra silky smooth skin in this movie. I'm not saying I would like to lick her.
Well, you get to touch it. Is that what the fourth dimension is?
Could be. Said, I'm not saying I would like to lick her skin, but I would definitely like to lick her skin.
Ollie, well, it's like you just imagine she'd taste like the thing she's selling.
Could perhaps. Ollie, if bunnies are your thing, you should definitely book a ticket to go. Keep up the amazing work. You're the only thing that keeps me going with WWE. That and the promise of a new era, because that's definitely happening, right? That's from Dez. Thank you for a great email, Dez. So yeah, so he's recommended you go to Cadbury World in Birmingham so you can go see the Cadbury bunny in four dimensions.
My lady partner is actually off to Birmingham this Friday to see her friend. Maybe I go with her and just say, just want to... I love Birmingham. I love Birmingham. What's in Birmingham, Ollie? It used to be the capital city of England.
Hey, British strong styler from there.
Yeah, I just want to check out some work stuff. What work stuff? Cadbury's factory.
Yeah, the Cadbury's factory.
Yeah. Is this about the bunnies again? No, damn it!
Well, that is all we've got time for this section of the podcast. We'll be back in the outro with possibly an Agony Art suggestion. I think I'm going to pick another one at random, see how well that goes for us. So we're going to be kicking off this show talking about the NXT quote-unquote call-ups and debuts that happened on this week's Raw and how they were a little bit rubbish. Here's the show.
Before we get into the whole show, Glass is coming out this Friday. It's in theatres this Friday. We're not sponsored by it, unfortunately, but we feel like we have to say this.
I'm so glad you mentioned that because I meant to put it in my calendar and I just forgot.
I keep forgetting.
Yeah.
I kept forgetting throughout Raw.
Yeah.
Thankfully, Renee Young was on hand to awkwardly tell me when it was out.
There would be a point where I'd make some notes during like a Sasha Banks match and I'd think to myself, Glass is coming out, isn't it? But what day is it coming out? Mm. And then, funny enough, someone would, like, it would shrink down into the corner and there would be a trailer for the movie. And I'd be like, Friday, yes, Friday, of course.
My problem is that I would start thinking about Unbreakable just randomly. And I'm going, I think I read somewhere that ties into Split, the movie that came out a few years ago. What's the name of the next movie in this so-called trilogy that Shyamalan has created? And then there you go, Michael Cole, middle of a match. By the way, guys, Glass
is
coming out this Friday.
The superhero landscape is going to change.
It's going to be shattered.
Oh, sorry, shattered.
Shattered.
Well, of course. I mean, that just makes sense, doesn't it?
Because the movie's called Glass.
Yes.
You don't change glass.
Do you know
you shatter glass.
Do you know what the irony of this is?
No.
You and I are going to see it tomorrow night.
I know. I'm actively resenting the movie before. I was looking forward to that film. Sitting at a certified kind of off 38% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yes.
So I would still eat those tomatoes if they were in my fridge.
But
I would fry them, though.
But because Rotten Tomatoes is such a reliable source of what people think of the movies, the audience score is very high for it, considering no one's seen it yet. So we can already have those headlines of, it's the first movie of 2019 with the big critic-fan divide, because those fan reviews are obviously legitimate because no one's seen it yet, apart from critics.
Going on to Raw, though.
Sorry, can I just quickly finish my irony story?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it's, the ironic thing is that you and I are seeing this tomorrow night, and I forgot that, and I've double-booked myself, and I've booked tickets to go to the Prince Charles Cinema, but I'm not going to go to the Prince Charles
You're
Cinema.
You're damn right. Yeah, this is a little outing for the WrestleTour crew.
But I've already paid for my ticket for it. I booked my ticket, and I was like, oh, brilliant. Messaged my mate who can't go, so I was going to go on my Todd. And then you mentioned later on in the day, the glass thing's next Wednesday. And I was like, oh, I've just booked that Prince Charles ticket thing.
Luke has had a stellar start to this week. We'll talk about it in the podcast.
Tell me about it.
So, NXT call-ups. Of course, these were all announced. Lars Sullivan was announced way long ago.
October.
Way long ago at Survivor Series.
On November, yes.
So November. But the... This other spate, so EC3, Heavy Machinery, Nikki Cross and Lacey Evans, they were announced as part of the new era. They're on their way to WWE on, I think it was like the 19th of December episode of Raw. It was the night after TLC when the McMahons came out and said, hey, it's a new era now. It's now been about 28 days, so not quite a month. It's a lunar month in terms of 4 weeks. And you think, okay, WWE have got some plans for this. There were reports that the first live episode of 2019 of Raw, which was last Monday, would be a huge thing and would have all these debuts. And then they just had all those people wrestle in dark matches on Raw and SmackDown instead. So you're thinking...
The two of them were on Main Event.
Mm, but they were before Raw and they're not going to be broadcast on Main Event.
More, I think they were broadcast on Main Event.
Mm, I heard that they weren't. But this...
That's hilarious. It's even funnier.
Yeah, I know, yeah. So... it's not like, so you go, okay, that wasn't their TV debuts. I'm sure they've got something big. Just for EC3. EC3 looks like money. That's his gimmick. And then this episode had just one after the other, the weakest NXT debuts I've ever seen. And they were, it wasn't just that one was weak. They were all equally weak. And it's not like these guys are really heralded NXT anticipated call-ups. There was kind of question marks about whether these guys were ready in the first place to be brought up. And just having them debut on the main roster like this, we'll break them down one by one, really shows to me these guys are mid-carders. That's the highest level of their aspiration.
I was going to say mid-carders is like, that's almost too high of a position for them. EC3, he was hanging out with Heath Slater and Rhino, which really tells you like that's the position he's at. And Lacey Evans, just backstage. And Michael Cole more or less went, oh, look, there's Lacey Evans. On glasses coming out on Friday. And then quickly moved on. And, should we go into these individually?
Let's break it down. So EC3, first off, he was the first one to appear on Raw. There's a... So Vince McMahon has said, Braun Strowman, you're not going to face Brock Lesnar at Royal Rumble. We're going to that later. So there's a queue of people outside McMahon's office trying to lobby him to say, hey, pick me. I can main event Royal Rumble with Brock Lesnar.
Curtis Axel.
Exactly. You've got the B team. You've got Heath Slater and Rhino. There's a little funny gag where Jerry Lawler walks out of Vince's office. A welcome sight sometimes. He wasn't when he was on commentary for all that time.
Well, it's good they were in Memphis.
Yeah.
And he's just signed a new 2-year deal. And he's going to be commentating the Royal Rumble.
Well, it is the King's pay-per-view. I bet he's only...
Is it?
Yeah, it's Royal.
Oh, yeah, that's...
I bet he's only on the pre-show, though. And
no, apparently he's calling the Rumble match.
And No Way Jose parties passed at one point. And then, not even in that bit, you then go into a Revival versus Lucha House Party match whose sole purpose was to be shrunk and have the interviewer backstage screen in the corner. So you pay attention to that. And, like, I can't remember who it was. Was it Dasher?
Dasher.
Dasher's saying, like, here's the B team. What do you think? And, like, oh, we don't know which one would go for it. Heath Slater's like, I could do it. And then she turns around. EC3 walks into shot, topless, smiles at her, and walks off. And Michael Cole just goes, it's EC3. And that was the debut.
It should be noted that...
Glass is out this Friday.
Well, that. And perhaps I'm going to Pritchard this ever so slightly here. This was their debut, but they're across both shows at the moment. So there is more for them to do. Like, they could do something really big on SmackDown tonight.
Are they across both shows?
Yes, they did announce that all these on their way to WWE call-ups are across both shows currently because they haven't signed which brand they're going to yet, which is essentially doublespeak for, we have no plans for them, I don't know which brand they're going to, they're just on both brands at the moment. That coupled with the women's tag team championships going across both brands, and all of a sudden this brand split seems like it's heading for the bin. Mm.
It ends with a whimper, not with a bang. I always like said this. One. I said this when everyone was getting so excited about the brand split. Oh, I think this brand split's been pretty good so far. So that was EC3's big debut, big TV debut.
Yeah.
And by the way, after that, it goes into an in-ring promo with Vince McMahon in the ring. And he doesn't reference anyone who came to see him backstage. He's just like, oh, John Cena, Drew McIntyre, Baron Corbin and Finn Balor. I'm talking to you guys. So that just makes EC3 feel even less of a deal.
Why wasn't he in the four-way? You don't have to have him win. No. Absolutely, because he's not ready for a Universal Championship spot. Absolutely. Not at this point of his career. He's literally just shown up. Mm. I mean, granted, it could make him a star, but let's hold this back a little bit. Let's hold the reins in.
Baron Corbin has to be in that main event.
Well, I mean, you've got to work to get to the Baron Corbin level, haven't you? You've got to get a fancy waistcoat if you want to get to that level. But what I'm saying is, you could have put him into that Fatal 4-Way, have a good showing, and then not win. And then like, well, I mean, he didn't win, but that's another main eventer in that scene. There's another potential title challenger down the line.
Yeah, and that's not like, that would be a good way to do it. I'm sure there's other ways they could have done it. Not always, but a lot of the things we're going to say would have been better than what they did here.
Yeah.
Also, we got Nikki Cross. She probably had the best main roster debut, but that comes with a big asterisk. Because she's already debuted on SmackDown.
That was like Jerry Lawler coming out of Vince McMahon's office. It was done for not a hometown pop, but a home
country.
Well, not really, because she's Scottish, and it was in Manchester.
Home union.
Yes, a home union pop. you're all basically the same area.
Yeah. Joe Hendry.
Exactly. Yeah, you all eat fish and chips. You have your cups of tea. You're all basically the same. So she was the mystery partner for Bayley and Natalya, who just three segments earlier were arguing and not friends. And it was the best of the lot, but really, that is such a low bar.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and I'll be honest with you, I really thought it was going to be Ember Moon.
Yeah, it was a low bar, and they didn't even go full, they didn't even commit fully to this. So Nikki Cross comes out. I like how the Riot Squad sold it. They were actually quite scared of her. She
actually looks like she might riot.
Yeah, she's better at our gimmick than we are. Condiments. And Nikki Cross goes for them all, and there's a cool bit where she's facing off all three of them outside the ring. And even Natalya and Bayley on part of her team are like, whoa, she's a bit nuts.
Yeah.
And then it comes back from the commercial break and Nikki Cross is still going at it. But then she tags out and then it becomes a normal Bayley, Natalya, Riot Squad. How many times have we seen this combination?
It's a new
match.
Era.
But then Nikki Cross kind of gets on the up again at the end. So you're like, okay, you just bookended this match with great Nikki Cross stuff. And then Nikki Cross tags in Bayley and Bayley gets the pin. This is small stuff, but it's also fundamental stuff. Why not just give Nikki the win?
No. It's so weird. Because Nikki hit her finish as well. She hit her finish to set up Bayley to not do her finish and win.
I like the elbow drop from Bayley.
Yeah.
Yeah. But just have Nikki win.
It's better than CM Punk's.
And then after that match, it goes, but kind of after that match, it goes backstage. Finn Balor is walking to his match against Jinder Mahal, I believe. And backstage, he walks past what I thought was Lacey Evans just talking to some women in fancy hats.
I've written in my notes, Lacey is talking to stagehands.
Mm. Entertaining stagehands, I wrote, with the big fancy hats. And Michael Cole, which was his job most of the night, either say glass or it's enter NXT call-up name here. He goes, it's Lacey Evans. And that's it.
That was it?
Yeah. I like the idea of fleshing out the universe where you've got just other wrestlers doing their acts in the backgrounds of other skits. But not this.
Oh, let us not forget, this is how The Drifter debuted. This is how Elias debuted. He was just in the background of shots drifting about.
But that's his gimmick. Well, it was his gimmick when he was a drifter. But he's no longer a drifter.
No.
He narrates what's going on in WWE through the medium of song.
He is the bard of this D&D party.
I think every Raw should open now with him going, "Oh, welcome to Raw. It was a cold winter night on Monday evening in Memphis, Tennessee."
Well, if he can't do your local sports team anymore, you may as well use him this way.
What's this? Alas, it's Braun Strowman versus the Vince McMahon. You know, it's stuff like that.
Totally.
Yeah. So Lacey Evans was bad. Well, it wasn't bad. It was just nothing.
Just nothing.
And you need more when you debut people. But the most inexplicable, and I thought this really fell flat. I still don't know what they were trying to do. So it's a moment of bliss with Paul Heyman. This is the new chat show that I think they thought was going to be Miz TV, but has no personality whatsoever.
This might be the worst Paul Heyman segment in the history of Paul Heyman segments.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's a high bar.
It might be worse than what was than last week with the Braun Strowman promo.
At least last week's was funny because we just got to watch Braun drown.
I genuinely forgot that Paul Heyman cut a promo on this show until I got into the office and had to find images for your Raw review. And I was like, oh yeah, Paul was there.
Yeah.
Paul did say... I can't even tell you what he talked about.
So this began before the ad break or whatever it was. There was a weird crossfade in here, which we've debated and Luke won. Alexa Bliss is in her locker room. There's the runner with the coffee, like from last week, to get over, I guess, that Bliss is a heel diva.
Yes.
And diva in the actual use of the word, not the draconian women's division way. And he knocks on the door and he can't hear anything. He's like, "Got your coffee for you."
He's saying her name very loudly.
Yeah. And she is not far away from the door.
Nope, absolutely not. She's not listening to music. She's not got her headphones in. She's just ignoring him.
Yeah. So he opens the door, walks in. Bliss is there in a state of undress, a kind of state of undress that Mandy Rose would use to tempt Jimmy Uso. So not much. And she's just kind of got a lot of clothes covering her breast area, but her back is bare.
PG.
And the runner's like, "Oh my God, oh, I'm so sorry." And Alexa's like, "What the hell are you doing?" I think that's a trap. I think she's trying to get this guy fired. She blatantly heard the guy
this
knocking.
What was this segment?
Yeah, and then it just crossfades.
Yeah.
I defer to you. Because I thought it was a hard cut. Because
You thought they went to an ad break.
I thought there was no way they went from that segment into Renee Young, like a cold, hard transition into Renee Young going, "The world of superheroes is going to be shattered
this Friday
with Glass. Let's take a look."
Cole and Graves were pulling faces, as in like a... what was that? But poor old Renee Young beat "The world of superheroes will be shattered." I felt so bad for Renee. They made her look like a complete putz.
How dare you have a personality?
Yep.
You need to be a robotic interviewer like Alexa Bliss is also now a robotic interviewer.
It was just such an odd segment. And I posted about this on Twitter and a lot of people said like, "Oh, they've done it for ratings." But it's not. And I was about to say, it's not like this is going to pop a rating.
This isn't Sable's breasts covered in oil or
it's
whatever
not,
it was, black paint.
It's not the cat completely taking her top off at Armageddon 1999. But then again, it's also not 1999 anymore. And I just thought this was a really... like, you used the word draconian earlier. This felt like a very draconian segment. This felt like a segment right out of 1999 where they were just like, "What do women do? Ah, they've got breasts, and men then gawk at those breasts and stumble over words. It's hilarious. And it's also a little bit sexy, right?" And then they walk out. So, it's also the thumbnail for the YouTube video. It's got more views than pretty much anything else, with the exception of Braun flipping over the limo. I think it's the most second watch. What am I talking about? It's the second most watched, and that's a better way of
saying
it.
It's the least first watched this year.
It's not the first watched or the third watched. It's the second most watched video on their YouTube channel from Raw.
I wouldn't have a problem with it if it clearly paid off.
If it led to something.
Yeah, because...
at least the Mandy Rose thing is a storyline.
Yeah, like...
sort of.
They didn't even... you would expect that to then play into what Alexa started her segment next. Like, her moment of bliss on stage interview thing was next, and she just opened talking about, hey, Elimination Chamber, we're going to have a match to crown the new women's tag team champions.
In 5 weeks' time.
Three teams from Raw, three teams from SmackDown. And, like, that persona, she was, I am PR speak, I am doing announcements. No character work whatsoever. Like, what has happened to Alexa Bliss as a promo? She just says words now. She's so... She's not bad because she can, like, competently deliver stuff, but there's nothing there anymore. And she was one of the better promos in the whole company in 2017-18. But, she doesn't reference that runner coming in with the coffee and her being caught in a state of undress at all. And no one really does.
No.
Because it just goes straight into the glass plug. So she brings out Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman does a bit. And then Otis Dozovich, our last NXT call-up of Heavy Machinery, just walks in and starts mumbling nonsense in his way. And WWE have somehow made Otis Dozovich mumbling nonsense not entertaining.
Yeah. Brian Zane of Wrestling With Regret said, oh, they're Jesse and Festus. I can't believe I didn't see this coming. And he's right. They're already Jesse and Festus on the main roster. Dave Meltzer was saying that Vince McMahon is going to think that Otis is the funniest thing and just break the team up. And then poor old Tucker Knight's got absolutely nothing going for him. And he's just going to completely fade into obscurity.
Yeah. So what I think happened...
I'm so glad you're here. Because I was like, I did not connect these dots together. But you managed to.
I think Otis... Because when Otis was mumbling, he was saying something about... women.
Steaks.
Women plates.
It did draw a new line. Or it did draw a new parallels when he did his... We're coming! Catchphrase.
Yeah. And... I think Otis had seen this backstage bit where Bliss was partially undressed. That has made him horny. So 10 minutes later, he walks out to sort of just start gawking at Alexa.
To leer.
So it's like, it wasn't clear in the slightest. So even if this was a good idea, this wasn't told at all. Oh, well, because no one knows what was happening here. The crowd was so confused. And they're just like, so what's happening? And no one got any heat from it. Paul Heyman must have been so embarrassed. And yeah, the other thing is, it wasn't any good in the first place.
And then all of a sudden, like, this, Otis says his things. Tucker Knight comes out and, like, referees sort of pull Tucker back. And then you just have your lad in the ring going, like, and now it's time for the main event. And Bliss and Heyman just look at each other and go, like, well, that's us done then. And they stand up and they just walk to the back and the segment ends. So weird. Look at a weirdly structured series of events.
So, this was the worst. Because usually when NXT call-ups happen, they're not bad from the offset.
It depends.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
They usually come in with some bit of pomp and circumstance.
Well, No Way Jose. Oh, that's right.
No Way Jose had
won.
A big party and he won matches. Around, and it was
Andrade
over.
Won matches.
Yeah, it was not to my taste. Andrade got like actual promos different each week about when he was going to lead up to debut. And the actual debut, WWE's, the actual debuts themselves, they might lack substance sometimes, but they always have spectacle. These had none of the substance and none of the spectacle. And there was four of them on the same show. So
it was like the post-WrestleMania show.
Yeah, like in the crap universe.
Yeah. It was bizarre.
This was worse than bizarre. It was stuff bad. This was very stuff bad, WWE. Thankfully, Raw opened with the real stars, the McMahons. Vince arrives in a limo and gets out. He sees the back light and he goes, there's something there. And the driver cleans it.
Cool. Vince McMahon arrives in a limo. It really is 1999.
It's show, don't tell. It's classic storytelling because he didn't say, this is dirty. I love this limo. I'm a man of high standards. He just points and goes, clean it up.
Also, Chekhov's gun for later on. In a few moments' time, when Braun destroys it slightly.
Yeah, so this transitioned into the sort of proper opening of Raw, which was Braun Strowman coming down to cut a promo on Brock Lesnar. How Brock has always been scared of him when he had Money in the Bank. He was looking over his shoulder. He came back at Hell in a Cell. I mean, I don't know how that means Brock's scared of him because he was
came
out
in
of
and
company,
destroyed him.
And that didn't have a definitive finish. That just reminded me about how frustrating that finish was. And then he said, just like to cap off last week's brilliant promo, and he screwed me a WWE World Cup.
Yeah, I didn't pick up on this, but a few people have tweeted me saying, like, did they change the pay-per-view name?
I loved it. I went back and I watched it, and I was like, he did say that. And then I watched it again just because it made me laugh. This is my new favourite thing. I love Braun Strowman. I didn't think I could love him anymore. But when he screws up promos, I get this really weird, hot, probably quite nasty kick of delight.
Yeah?
Yeah, I like it.
So you think it was a botch then?
Of course it was a botch.
They might have changed the name of the pay-per-view.
No.
You don't know.
WWE World Cup.
Hey, well, we'll find out when they go
it's
back
because
there later the year.
They said world so many times in the promotion of that event. It wasn't Crown Jewel. It was always the World Cup to determine the best in the world. So poor old Braun, he got knocked over the head with a briefcase, didn't he?
With the title belt. Yeah.
So he can't remember the name of the
bless
company.
His heart.
Yeah. But Baron Corbin interrupts and says, you won't main event WrestleMania. Cue chase sequence.
Yeah. Basically. And then he threw a Singh brother over a table and we got the Elias playing the bard and saying that Elias Corbin was hiding in Vince McMahon's limo. How he got in there, I don't know. I'm guessing that driver left the door unlocked. That driver was in the car as well.
He had a bad night, that driver.
Yeah.
Dirty car.
Let someone else in. And then what happens to him afterwards? And then, so Braun goes down, and Corbin's locked himself in the car, I'd imagine. And so he grabs a pipe, and he smashes the window, and Corbin escapes from the other side, and Braun tears off the door, and he pulls out the limo driver and throws him around as well. And then Vince McMahon shows up and looks annoyed. Commercial break. We come back. Vince is still looking at Braun. Which just means that for those, like, in the kayfabe world, for those 3 minutes that adverts were on, they were just staring at each other.
Which is perfect for a sitcom that's already been taped and isn't live. Like, that's how you do it. And you come back, the action in sitcom world, or, like, you know, just normal pre-recorded television, we all understand that during the ad break, not much happens.
No. Vince McMahon shows up. Ba-doop, ba-doop, doop, 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 doop.
Previously. Like,
Glass is coming out on Friday.
Yeah, yeah. But here, yeah, they just stand there looking at each other for at least 2 minutes.
Yeah, totally.
For at least the length of a Glass trailer sneak peek. So that was, I mean, that was just stupid. But fair enough, sports entertainment. I was sports entertained. And Vince is like, well, I fine you $100,000.
I did laugh at Braun trying to put the door back on.
That was funny. So Vince says, I fine you $100,000. And Braun's like, ugh, the car isn't even worth that much. So Vince goes, huh, so you're not in the title match at Royal Rumble either. And I just thought, what an uninspired way to remove Braun from this title match.
Well, so apparently, according to both Meltzer and Mike Johnson of PW Insider, this was always the plan.
Wow.
They were never going to do Brock v. Braun at the Rumble, but they announced it because they wanted to sell tickets. Because they're not selling a building anymore, they're selling its arena. It's a 40,000-seat arena. And according to Meltzer and Observer Radio today, the secondary market's doing quite poorly. The tickets are available 2-for-1 at the moment. So they had announced a big match that they thought people would be interested in. But although Braun should be cleared to wrestle come Royal Rumble, they didn't want to beat Braun again, and they have no plans to put the title on him at this point, so they had to remove him from the match. And that was when a new name had to be found, and the name that was decided was Balor.
Wow. Wow, well, that's... I mean, but, like, this is such a limp way of writing Braun out of this storyline as well. Like, think where Braun was after WrestleMania 34. Even with the Nicholas stuff. Like, I thought that might be the end of him and turn him into a comedy monster. But actually, he had some serious momentum there when he just do... Like, all those matches in Raw were just built around his hot tag and he'd boulder through everyone on the outside. He had serious momentum. And then he got stuck in the Kevin Owens feud and it all got flattened out. Braun Strowman now... People chant, get these hands and stuff. But other than that, he is so flattened out at the moment.
I think the get these hands chant is just, we're supposed to do this now.
Mm.
As opposed to, we want to do this because we're really into what you do.
And then, like, to make it all a bit more pathetic and sad, Vince walks away. And it's just like, this is meant to be a new era. And Vince is pulling people from matches because... the guy damaged his limo. It's such lazy writing. And Brock, annoyed by this...
Brock, you mean Braun.
Braun, annoyed by this, flips the limo over. And how many times have we seen this spot? I felt like the crowd were just completely bored.
It was incredible how dead the crowd was for it.
Yeah.
And Vince McMahon, who only a moment ago was really upset that there was a scratch on it, was then very upset that the door was off, didn't even come back. His limo. And he wasn't far away. He would have heard it. Like Alexa Bliss in her locker room, he would have heard that being flipped over.
The acoustics in Memphis must really dampen the sound.
It's really weird. Yeah. It's amazing how it's such a rock and roll place with all these terrible acoustics.
That's why it's so loud, the rock and roll.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, because no one can hear it.
It's all the ringing in the ears, yeah.
So Braun was then escorted out the building because... they probably run out of ideas of how to make him interesting.
Well, you've got to put all that creative time into those NXT call-ups.
Yeah. Then we got Ronda Rousey and Sasha Banks teaming together in a pre-announced match against Nia Jax and Tamina, which was a shrink screen advert for Glass, mainly.
Yeah, pretty much. The match was built around Sasha kind of dominating the whole thing. She tapped out Tamina. She didn't really need Ronda's help in there. No, it was a good way to kind of put... Spanks over strong because apparently to put Spanks over strong because also apparently the rumor and innuendo is this wasn't also the planned Royal Rumble match. They were going to do Ronda versus Charlotte at the Rumble and then last Monday changed their minds and were like, we need to find Banks, and then it would just be, and so that's why Ronda was really trying to put Banks over strong in her promo, because they needed to make it sound like Banks is a title contender.
As frustrating as all these late in the day changes to the Royal Rumble card are, the Royal Rumble card looks amazing right now. AJ Styles versus Daniel Bryan. Brock Lesnar versus Finn Balor.
That's what we were meant to get at Royal Rumble last year.
Asuka versus Becky Lynch.
Yep.
Sasha Banks versus Ronda Rousey. And The Bar versus The Miz and Shane McMahon. And the two Royal Rumble matches.
And the Cruiserweight 4-Way.
Oh, That's like that is a hell of a card. The singles matches are great.
Yeah, actually, and that cruiserweight four way between Buddy Murphy, Kalisto, Hideo Itami, and Akira Tozawa. Yes, please, mate. I'll watch that.
Yeah, so it's like, although I thought this was actually a pretty rubbish show of Raw, I'm really excited about Royal Rumble.
I really don't think that I could be unexcited about a Royal Rumble. Mm. It's always my favourite event. But I can't be not excited for it.
I'm excited about the singles matches for the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm not, like, the actual Royal Rumble matches themselves haven't really been built that much.
Have they been built at all?
People have declared themselves for it.
Could you name 10? I mean, you could probably guess 10 people that are in there, but could you name off the top of your head 10 people?
Nope. I could guess, you're right. So after this match, Ronda Rousey and Sasha Banks have an in-ring interview. The review I read on Cage Side Seats for this were really high on this interview. I thought it was a bit pants.
So, from what I can gather, Ronda was saying things that were complimentary, but Sasha was taking them as digs.
Yeah, so Ronda's saying, like, hey, when I beat Sasha, that will be one of, like, the best accomplishments because I really respect her. And Sasha's like, whoa, who said you're going to beat me, girl, sister? Yeah. And she went all kind of bossy. Bossy, like, as her, the boss. The I'm not boss, calling yeah. women bossy. But, yeah, Ronda is still doing the humble champion shtick. Like, how much better would this build be if Ronda just said, I picked you because I think you're the best fighter. I'm the best fighter. I'm going to kick your ass.
Yeah, I picked you because you're the best wrestler here.
Yes.
But I'm better. And then you just build the whole thing around that as opposed to, oh no, you misunderstood what I said. Oh. I was trying to say a really nice thing about you.
Oh, I really like what you've done.
I think your hair's really nice as well. Oh. And then that sort of led into this backstage segment where they were continuing to argue, but they had their respective best friends as a force field to kind of block them off. Mm. And then they went off in their separate directions. And Bailey and Natalya continued to argue. Bailey goes, my best friend was right. And Natalya goes, no, my best friend was actually right. And then the Riot Squad showed up, and Bailey and Natalya had to go, I suppose we're better team together then.
So just compare this to SmackDown's women's division, which is incredible right now, especially the top part of it.
Oh, I'd say that's the only part of it, though.
Well, yeah, I guess so. But Asuka, Charlotte, and Becky Lynch.
Those three.
And even Carmella last week. I that's still half of the women's division there.
It's really missing Zelina Vega. That's where it's falling down.
They're all really competitive against each other. There's no shtick about being friends anymore. Whereas Raw keeps getting dragged in this really outdated way of writing women's storylines where they're all friends.
It is really bad.
Bollocks.
It was really awful.
That set up the sixth person later with Banks Bailey having to find... No, not Banks and Bailey. Bailey and Natalya having to find a mystery partner.
You were so used to them being a tag team.
Yeah. Then we got the McMahon's office stuff that we've already talked about. Revival beating Lucha House Party. Nothing to note there.
It's interesting, though, that the Revival are definitely the heels, because Michael Cole is talking about, like, the Revival said there's a conspiracy theory against them that they keep getting screwed out of these matches. Like, that's not a conspiracy theory, Michael. They literally have been screwed out of matches. You are calling this action. You have seen them get screwed out of these matches. That's not a conspiracy theory. It's happening in front of you.
Wake up, sheeple.
Yeah, and then they screwed Loser House Party out of a win.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's a bad story.
It was just a shrink-screened thing because the majority of this match was Dasha with all of the lower mid-carders and jobbers and EC3.
Outside Vince's
office.
Who
I should say is now in that mold as well, I guess.
Yeah, so Vince McMahon now comes out and he's just about to start his promo about who he's going to reveal as Brock Lesnar's new challenger at Royal Rumble. And John Cena interrupts. And I actually sat back. I never thought I'd say this. If I went back to 2010 or 2009, Ollie, at the height of my John Cena hating, and went, you know, you're going to be excited about a John Cena match, title match.
Yeah.
I would have said, get out.
Get out. Get out of it.
Get out,
get in the
future
seat.
Ollie, with your great grey hairs. And, yeah, I would be totally into that story. I think it's a big time match, John Cena versus Brock Lesnar. John going for his 17th World Championship.
As well as when Heyman did have a really good line later on. I know I sort of like buried it a little bit earlier, but he did have a great line where he was like, the foundations of Suplex City were built on John Cena's carcass.
Yeah.
And really calling back to that SummerSlam 2016 match that they had,
or 2014,
whatever it was. But that, like, where Suplex City really started to, like, take hold when Lesnar just completely dominated Cena. It was one of the most spectacular main events to SummerSlam I've ever seen, in case of, like, what the hell just happened. And so that's actually quite a nice story to then tell for Cena's comeback. It doesn't really matter because we all know that Lesnar's retaining and going on to WrestleMania anyway. So that doesn't really, it doesn't matter who it is, I guess. So it actually, yeah, it would have been quite nice to be seen. And him, I'm going to be the 17-time world champion. I've been a world heavyweight champion. I've been a WWE champion, but I've never been a universal champion. Using that as fuel for his character.
I think it would be really nice as well for Cena to lose there. And then he kind of disappears. Maybe he has like the exhibition match at WrestleMania. But then that fuels his comeback later on in the year and has a Hiroshi Tanahashi veterans comeback storyline and gets that 17th world title. Anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Vince doesn't know what a Tanahashi is.
No, no. Oh, the hair, though. What beautiful hair. John Cena wish he had that hair.
Doesn't he just? But Cena did have a really weird line when he was talking about this, though. He said that, Vince McMahon, 20 years ago, everyone left you. Austin left you. Rock left you. Brock Lesnar left you. And you had to look to a group of weirdos, and we had to carry this company. And I thought, 20 years ago was 1999, when Austin was carrying this company. The Rock was there. Brock Lesnar wasn't even there. I think he meant 15. I even wrote in my notes 15 years ago, and then had to correct myself because he said it again 20 years ago.
Yeah. Raw doesn't know how maths works.
No.
As we remember from Alexa Bliss's, I was this old at this time.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
But Cena said that he kept the company going with his ruthless aggression. That's why he should pick me. Drew McIntyre comes out to make his case. It was interesting seeing Drew and Vince together.
Yeah, the chosen one.
Yeah, like that was about a decade ago where Vince said, you know, you're the chosen one. The company's going to be built around you. Bit premature.
There. Well, yeah, I mean, word is that it really was going to be, and he was going to win titles, but it went to Drew's head. That's the story anyway. He walked around a lot backstage being like, yeah, no, I'm the chosen one. I'm going to be the champion around here. And that got him some heat.
Worked himself into a shoot, brother.
Yeah, and he proved himself.
And then Baron Corbin comes out.
Oh, goody.
Why is he still in this main event mix?
Because it's a new era.
He didn't even take the pin. And finally, Finn Balor comes out. And he points out, hey, I'm the only former Universal Champion here. Didn't say that he never got his rematch, but that's old era stuff. Automatic rematch clauses. And Vince just goes on the... I thought Vince was a bad promo here. I thought he mumbled his lines. I thought he didn't have much energy. He just seems old now. And Vince said, hey, you're great, Finn, but do you have the beef?
Well, yeah, he said, look at this ring. There's a lot of beef here.
Yeah. And this wasn't like, I think he said World Cup. I'm going to go back and listen to Braun's promo because I think he said World Cup. He did say World Cup. This was a promo I had to go back and listen to because I couldn't understand what he was mumbling. Beef here. There's got a beef here.
Yeah, it just said there's loads of beef here. And I was looking at the ring and I'm like, does he mean tall? Because Balor is in like the best shape of all three of the people here. And yet Drew's massive and he's well built. Corbin, the reason he's in a shirt and waistcoat is because he's a bit podgy in the middle. Ross Tweddell is having a lot of fun he's poking a lot of fun at this lad. And John Cena, yeah, John Cena's in shape, but it's not like you look at Finn Balor and be like, you are piling on the pounds, mate.
I just, and beef to me also suggests that there's tension between people. If me and you had beef, that
Which
would mean there was a feud.
Some people think there are, or there is, rather.
Between me and you.
Have you not seen these comments? People like, oh, yeah, no, Ollie hates him. They just hate each other.
I do. Vince, he said, like, yeah, have you got enough beef? I thought it was so, so weird. It just didn't come off as effective at all. I'm looking at Finn. He must, like, is he confused that Vince is asking him about beef? I think Vince got hungry.
Yeah, he had the steak wrap before he went out, and that's what he was thinking about. He was like, God, it was a good steak wrap.
Or,
have you got the beef? Or the steak wrap hasn't arrived yet. Have you got it? Have you got my beef?
Where am I? I need my beef.
Maybe he thinks that Finn is an intern.
Yeah.
He's like, have you got my beef? My beef wrap did not arrive.
Anyway, Finn says he'll prove himself then, and he punches Corbin right there, and Drew takes out both Finn and Cena with some claymores, and Vince is like, "Well, I like this, ha ha ha," and books a fatal four-way match for the main event. I thought it was a bit rubbish. A lot of people are going, "Hey, this is a great way to make Finn have to prove himself to everyone." I'm like, but we're already sold on Finn. Why can't you just do this without, you're not burying him, but why can you do that? How can you do this without not pointing out Finn's flaws? Because Finn is smaller than a lot of the people on the roster. But I don't mind that. Vince minds that. And the previous regime, or like the still current regime, that's never really strapped the rocket to him after that initial injury. So just do all this, but without exposing him.
Without saying, you're small.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that you're small?
Like, just accentuate the strengths. You don't want to bring up people's weaknesses like that.
No.
So I thought it was ineffective. But I guess it played into a larger narrative. Because Jinder Mahal approaches Vince McMahon backstage and says he should get the Royal Rumble shot. Vince goes, well, if you can beat one of the guys in the four-way, you can take their place. And, of course, he chooses Finn.
Yeah, because he'd be the easiest one to beat in Jinder's mind.
Mm. We've talked about Nikki Cross and the Riot Squad match.
Also, Zayd Wolf is doing the Rumble theme song, It Sounds Bad.
What is a Zayd Wolf?
I am the Scooby-Doo, mate. There are so many times now when they say, here is the art. If it's not Little Mix, I'm going to Scooby-Doo who it is.
Dean Ambrose got a promo backstage. He talks about all the things that are wrong with his match tonight, that he's facing Rollins, that it's two men in a triple threat, and that it's in Memphis. And I just thought, wow. Your character has fallen so far.
There's only so far that coat could have taken his character, and not even the coat can get him over anymore.
No. Finn Balor beat Jinder Mahal, surprisingly.
It was a boring match.
Yeah,
unsurprisingly, shockingly boring.
It was just Jinder working over Balor after the Singh brothers ambushed Balor in the start.
You say working him over, let's call it what it is. It was chin
holds. Rest holds.
Yeah, it was rest holds.
It was nothing. But then we got, this was surprising in so many different ways. First, that it was a really corking match, easily best match of the night. And Bobby Roode is the new Intercontinental Champion.
Bobby Roode?
I've ridden Bobby Roode again. God damn it.
Is that in your
Lashley.
Review?
No, I changed it in the review. Dean Ambrose defending against Seth Rollins and Bobby Lashley.
They also had another recap. They had another promotion for Glass, but they tied it into Shawn Michaels putting Marty Jannetty through the barbershop window, which is like the anniversary of that's recently just passed. That's quite a nice little tie-in.
Yeah.
And also Glass... It was the better of the ones, I felt.
Yeah, that was... Of all of them, I mean, a broken clock is right occasionally.
I thought that this promotion of Glass was the Nikki Cross of the NXT call-ups on this show.
But this three-way, I thought, was terrific.
Yeah,
it was
really,
really fast-paced.
Really good.
There was a nice story where they made Bobby Lashley look like a monster. He was overpowering both guys to the extent where Dean and Seth... blood feud enemies have to work together to sort of take out Bobby for a bit with the steel steps.
It was the one thing in the match I didn't like.
Oh, really?
Well, only because Seth cut a promo literally before this, like everyone else had made their entrance, and then Seth cut his promo where he said, I'll never be able to forgive Dean. After what he did to Roman Reigns, after what he did to our brother who was battling leukemia, I'll never be able to forgive him. 5 minutes later, he's teaming with him.
Yeah. Well, it was a very brief thing just to take out Lashley, and they got back in the ring and started going at it immediately. I didn't mind it. I see where your problem is with it, though, but I thought it was well done. But Leo Rush kept hopping up on the apron. There was a really good sequence where Seth just went for loads of strikes on Rush, but Rush just dodged each one.
I thought the other sort of really effective story in this match as well is that Rollins always had the win.
Mm.
He had the win on so many occasions, but... either Lashley would push him out and try and steal it, or Ambrose would push him out and try and steal it. And then at the end of it, he had the win again, but Leo Rush low-bridged him, so he fell out of the ring, and Bobby Lashley got the spear and won, and he's the Intercontinental Champion for the first time ever in his career.
Yeah, and I said in my review, it's a really fitting end to Dean Ambrose's title run, which he won at TLC, right? Or was it before?
No, I think it was TLC.
So that's... 4 weeks. not even a full pay-per-view cycle. It's, yeah, Ambrose, what can you say about him? He's so uninspiring right now.
Yeah.
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 We should ask Renee. But yeah, so Bobby's the champion. I don't really know where they go from here. I feel like
a feud with Seth, I guess. They'll continue that feud with Seth.
Yeah.
Because again, Rollins did have the match won on several occasions here, and he was screwed out by Leo Rush, so it makes sense. But I don't know where Ambrose fits into that.
I forgot because they were brawling at the start of last week's episode as well.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we got the Moment of Bliss stuff with Paul Heyman, which had all that weird Alexa Bliss stuff in. And then the main event of Finn Balor beating Cena, McIntyre, and Corbin.
It
was an okay match.
It was an okay match. I thought we could do a bit of trying to fantasy book. I suppose it was not really fantasy booking. Who do you think the six teams are going to be in the Elimination Chamber? Because we didn't really explain what it is.
Oh sure, yeah.
So at Elimination Chamber, which is in it's quite soon. Well, it's in 5 weeks, I think. So we're 2 weeks out from the Rumble, which means that once the Rumble finishes, we've got 3 weeks. Basically, we're going back to November last year, October, November, because then you've also got Fastlane before WrestleMania. So we've got two pay-per-views in February, I guess, or maybe one in February, one in March.
Well, WrestleMania's in April.
In April, yeah. So Elimination Chamber, it's going to be an Elimination Chamber match, a tag team one, with three teams from Raw and three teams from SmackDown, and the survivors are going to be crowned the tag team champions. And I will say as well, they are probably the nicest looking main roster belts. They're better than the men's tag team titles, which are beyond bad. They are ugly as sin.
So is this in a chamber, or is it just in the chamber? Elimination
it's in
chamber.
She did say
it's a lot of people.
But they have done a tag team chamber before. They did it a couple of years ago.
But with I forgot how it worked, because you've got the four pods. And two teams started off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. My maths is about as good as WWE's.
So that's the match that Alexa Bliss announced, quite uninspiringly. Not the announcement, the way she announced it, I suppose.
Mm.
So
it was so flippant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it really, it was just, as I said, it was really weird string of events, because you had the topless thing, then this, then the Heyman, then the Otis, then the four-way. Like, it was just a random series of events.
And how SmackDown did that last week, that was really fast-paced and it all made sense and it really created an energy about the program, but this was just confusing.
Yeah. So on Raw, we're going to have Nia and Tamina, I'd imagine.
Mm-hmm. Bayley and Banks.
Well, Banks is in the... I suppose it could be Bayley. Yeah, probably will be Bayley.
She's not. Sorry. Yeah, she's gonna beat Ronda Rousey. What am I thinking? No, you got to save her for the women's title picture.
I thought to myself, oh, she's in the title picture, and I thought they might try and continue that feud on. What an idiot I am! Of course, Bayley and Banks, and the Riot Squad, right?
Sure.
And then on the SmackDown, you got Mandy and Sonya, the Iconics.
Do you think?
Well, they haven't got any other
team. They'll have to be, yeah.
And then I would have said it would be Asuka and Naomi, but they're not a team anymore. So maybe...
That won't stop them.
I thought it would be Naomi and Lana as sort of like the dance partner. Maybe Naomi
Carmella.
And Carmella could be. Or maybe it could be Zelina and Lana, the managers of their husbands, or their husbands. The managers team up together to try and win the belts.
Lana in an Elimination Chamber.
Hey, man, she's done Money in the Bank.
I guess so. She was in Money in the Bank. I guess she could also just be in the Elimination Chamber. But this main event was okay. Like, it's probably because it came after that confusing bit, and I fell out of love. I've really liked Raw when that three-way was on. I was really, really into it. And then there was a title change, exciting, and then it kind of chipped away at your interest. So, and this wasn't as good as the three-way.
Yeah.
But it was really John Cena putting over Finn Balor. Kicked out of a second rope AA.
Yeah, it was really funny because, so the Observer last week, Meltzer said that the planned Mania program is Cena versus Lars Sullivan, which has been reported elsewhere as well by the WrestleVoter and PW Insider as well, because Otis. Lars was meant to make his debut last week, but there was perhaps some miscommunication or something, but he didn't show up to TV. Apparently he had an anxiety attack. He was there. Lots of conflicting stories going around, but the plan is, apparently, is still to do Cena and Lars Sullivan at WrestleMania. And a lot of people come up to me and was like, oh, brilliant, so Cena can bury someone else again at WrestleMania. And I thought to myself, all Cena's done since he got back was put people over.
Yeah.
That's what he's been doing for like the last year or so, is just trying to put people over. I think that's really unfair on Cena to keep saying that, oh, all he does is just get out the golden shovel and bury people. There's the thing with Becky Lynch, that was all designed to put Becky over. And this match was designed, apart from when it was Baron Corbin versus Finn Balor again, was to put over Finn Balor. And John Cena was the one who did that. John Cena was the one that took the pinfall. Balor kicked out of a super AA. It was all designed to put Balor over.
Yeah, totally. It's in, like, even in a tag match where he was teaming with Becky, Cena still lost to Becky.
Yeah.
That's how much he's been really selfless. I get people's frustration with that, though, because it would have been nice if he did that for about 6 years.
At SummerSlam 2010.
And SummerSlam 2010 being one of the many examples where he could have done the job. But he really did put over Balor like a million bucks here. And he took the pin. Baron Corbin is in that match. And John Cena took the pin from a coup de grace. He got claymored before as well, so I guess his multiple finishers were hit on Cena. And Cena endorsed Finn afterwards.
Yeah.
Holding his hand up and saying, you know, I believe in you now. Vince might not. So
yeah, Vince doesn't believe in you, but this crowd believes in you and I believe in you. You go to Royal Rumble and you win that match.
Yeah, I believe in you to face Brock. So Cena just loves Irish people right now.
Apparently
I guess he's
so.
From Boston, so that's fitting.
Do we think we're going to get the Demon at Mania?
You've got to, haven't you? But you don't want to beat the Demon.
You've got to beat the Demon eventually.
Not on, like, his third showing. If the Demon doesn't come out for Brock Lesnar but did for Baron Corbin at SummerSlam, what are the rules? What are the rules for this?
I don't know. But I'm super stoked for a Finn Balor-Brock Lesnar match.
Yes.
I'm so much more interested in a Balor-Lesnar match than I am a Lesnar-Strowman match.
Totally. And you know who else would probably be more interested? Brock Lesnar himself.
Oh, yeah.
I think Brock's going to actually be motivated.
Yeah, you might be right. Maybe we can get another good Brock Lesnar match out of him.
Overall, I thought this was a pretty frustrating and annoying episode of Raw, but somehow I'm actually excited coming out of it. It's weird. It's very newsworthy, this episode. A lot of stuff went down.
Raw always is. Mm. I mean, I feel like we have to keep making this point, but it really is. No matter how bad Raw is, and it can be very bad, there is always something to talk about coming out of it. And the same can't be said for SmackDown.
No.
The same can't be said for NXT. But there is, granted, it's because Raw is the A show and it's the one they put the most effort into. But there's always something to talk about coming out of Raw.
Yeah, SmackDown just put on
consistently good shows. Yeah.
Who wants that?
Same as NXT. NXT, it's a consistently good to good show.
So I gave this an average.
I mean, I was poor for the majority of the show, but like I really enjoyed that three-way, so that might slightly bump me up. I'm not sure I can go all the way to average, because that's one thing.
Yeah.
And the last hour I found bonkers. So I'd probably downgrade this to a high average. No,
high
sorry.
Poor.
A high poor. Yeah. Thank you very much. This is why I don't do your reviews.
Can I start?
Yes.
So... I was going to do this on the intro, but I only just remembered. We want jingles, folks.
If you
are musically talented, so you can create music and you can supply, like, put funny lyrics over the top of that music, we want to make the podcast a bit more lively. So when we talk about Rusev Hayes, there'll be a Rusev Hayes jingle. But the best example is go to Adam Buxton's podcast or the old Adam and Joe podcasts. That's what we want to rip off.
Pretty much is exactly what we want to rip off. It means I've got more editing to do on this podcast, where at the moment it's quite a simple thing for me to sort out. But you want me to do more work, and that's fair enough.
You just drop them in.
That's how it works,
You
mate.
Just drag
just
it and
drag
drop.
Drag and drop.
Oh, yeah, drag and drop.
You wanted me to show you how to edit this podcast in Premiere Pro, a program designed to edit video. When I was like, just use it in Audition, where I've already created a template for you, but you didn't want to learn a new program.
So I think everyone reaches this point in their life where you can either keep learning new things or you can just keep doubling down on what you already know.
Yeah.
And I
and
reached
adapting
that point
that. Yeah.
3 years ago. So I've refused to learn any new operating systems or software. It makes me nervous. I haven't used my printer because I don't know how it works and I'm unwilling to learn. But yeah, so send in your jingles to, or your resumes or ideas, just anything, to luke@wrestletalk.com.
Yeah, so a shout out to Daniel who got in touch with us about possibly doing jingles for different segments. I am going to get back in touch with you today, mate, about that, to see if we can possibly work together with him. We have had jingles sent to us, but they have been... What's the politest way to say this?
Oh, yeah, what is the politest way to say this? I was going to say amateur, but that sounds nasty. Well-intentioned.
Raw.
They're a bit too raw for us.
That's that's the best way to put this. Before we get into an agony
So we want like an overall show jingle, like an opening.
Yeah, we were thinking about replacing the intro for this show, because it's got past its sell by date a little bit.
Yeah, and there's Rusev Hayes, there's Agony Arts, there's
Get Betters.
Is that all the same?
Poetry corners,
jokes.
Yep. Yeah. So all of those sorts of things, yeah. So please do send them in, luke@wrestletalk.com. Before we get into the agony arts, we do have a bit of we've got a bit of a follow-up, because we sort of teased it in the show itself. I've had quite a bad morning.
It's up there with Luke's top five worst mornings.
I don't know what's up with me today, but I've just been... I'm starting to get a bit concerned that my spatial awareness is really off. And I don't know if there's like a causation.
Is that why you're sitting on the table right now?
But I find myself like sort of walking into things more. I'm dropping things more. I just feel like I'm being much more rubbish at being an adult than I was when I was in my 20s.
No. Being a human being.
Or being a human being.
Not just an adult.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Bumping into stuff is more fundamental than just being an adult.
Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah. Toddlers learn how to not bump into things. I mean, they do bump into things, but then they quickly learn not to do that, and their spatial awareness becomes better. But this morning, I was trying to put something new up onto my bookshelf in my spare room. I managed to knock over all the books, and I dropped a load of them. And I also stubbed my toe on the stepladder getting up to that bookshelf. Not a great start, right? Like, that's pretty bad.
That's bad, but they don't affect me as much as the later ones would, because I am neither out of pocket nor out of... what's the word? Just, you know, like when you form a real emotional attachment to something and then that thing is shattered like glass, which is out in cinemas this Friday.
Yes. So there was quite a nice glass dish in the office that I broke because I was clumsy. Now, I don't want to put any of the blame onto you, because you are not to blame for this. But it wasn't a very awkward place.
It's my fault for putting it in a bit of my desk that was near you.
Yes, that is exactly that's what I was getting at. Yeah, so I've broken a plate. When I came in here to record my news, the cable for our mic pack got caught. And again, I don't think this is completely my fault. So I was coming around the desk because I had to get the iPad for the prompter, and it got caught on the table. I didn't move, and it snapped. So it's not like I yanked it and it snapped, in which case that would be completely my fault, because that's an idiot thing to do. But it just got caught, and then it snapped. And I felt so awful about it. I felt really, really bad.
It's only £110.
Take it out of my pay. It's fine. Please do, because it's awful.
I think I'm going to, not this one, but everyone's going to get, well, based on how expensive the thing is, everyone gets one. So everyone gets to break one thing. I'm not saying you have to, like... If Randy and Laurie just suddenly go, oh, okay, then, and push over a light, I'm going to be, that was a douchebag move. But everyone gets one accident.
And I think that...
I know it wasn't intentional.
It was destined to snap.
It wasn't destined to snap.
But it barely touched the table and it snapped. And it snapped clean. So I think it was always destined to snap. But I didn't tell you. You know what? After all that, I felt really awful. I felt really bad about myself because I'd made a bit of a boo-boo. I came back in here and I was going to do you can see that the Bludgeon Brothers hammer that Jenkins sent across, that was over here. And because I had the Bludgeon Brothers in my news today, I was like, well, I'll get the hammer and I'll have that as a prop in the news. So I came round here, didn't have the mic pack on me this time, the brand new mic pack. I put that to one side so I didn't, you know, so that doesn't get caught in this dangerous table, snap something that can easily be snapped, apparently. I came round here, I grabbed the hammer, I lifted it up, I hit it into this the background of the Wrestle Ramble set, knocked over all these figures.
Damn.
So I had to put, and I was like, what is wrong with me today?
So I underwent something similar last August. It wasn't that I was, like, my mind was failing. It's just because I was thinking about loads of other things. That was during the height of, oh my God, we don't have a studio.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I was like, I was forgetting stuff. I was bumping into stuff. So maybe you just got something on your mind.
Have I got anything on my mind, though?
Is it how disappointing your 5K times are?
I think it's just how disappointing I am just in myself, comma general. Particularly after Mike Gates, where I broke that mic pack.
Oh, no, it would have been a bit... So I'm talking about stuff before, like, that would have caused the sort of lack of spatial awareness.
But I think the mic pack started, like... I mean, that was, like, the catalyst, because I broke that, and then I smashed this, and then I broke the plate. So, like, I think all those three things, like, in a very short space of time. I also spilt some of the tea when I was making it. So I think all of that combined... Or those three sort of separate entities combined were certainly tied into Mike Gate. I can't explain the shelf this morning, though. Well, that's just me being an idiot. I just think I felt just bad in that way.
Well, you're forgiven if that makes you feel any better.
It does, I guess, to a degree. I think that you're just saying that, though. I think at this point you're just saying it.
I channeled
you
that
seemed
fury.
So mad.
That what? The mic pack, fair enough, that stuff happens. It was the irreplaceable emotional thing that was a bit sad. But I channeled that into, I was writing the Raw review at the time. Just put that all into the glass promotion. It's like, if you go and watch my Raw review from today, every time I start yelling about glass, I'm channeling Luke destroying my prized glass plate.
Yeah. So let's end with some jokes. Let's end on a lighter note. Sorry we didn't get to any of your agony arts. I had to get through my own agony arts request, I suppose. This one comes in from Helm, I'm going to guess, because he did not spell it out phonetically for me. What do you get when you combine a rhetorical question and a joke? What do you call the security guards of Samsung?
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
It's clever, right?
I haven't heard that one before.
Yeah.
Hmm.
What do you call the security guards at Samsung? The Guardians of the Galaxy?
That's not anywhere near as good.
It really isn't. And
that
I'll
be
honest with you,
such a drop-off of quality.
It's got another joke, but I didn't even get it. And we've done some of those ones, which are really, really bad. That's too long, Jaren. Ken is... Oh, no, Kem's just sent the same ones twice. Really, really wanted those read out. So that, unfortunately, is all the jokes we've got for this episode. Thank you so much for all of your emails. Remember, do get in touch with your jingle suggestions. Also, we have a Rusev Hey that I'm going to read out on tomorrow's episode from Jeff, who was afraid that the Rusev Hey that he'd sent got missed out because he'd sent it pre-Christmas. And I was like, that's weird. I don't remember, like, just deleting any emails and just not reading out. Then I realized what happened is I'd sent it to you when you and Laurie were covering. You didn't read it out, but I'd already removed it from my inbox. So, okay. Jeff, we have got your Rusev Hey about when you met Byron Saxton, so we'll read that out on tomorrow's show. Actually, we've got quite a few Rusev Hays in there now.
I'll also tell I didn't get to do it today. I went to the dentist last night for the first time in 9 years.
Oh.
And my dentist was called Dr. Butt.
Sounds sexy.
Yeah.
But that is all we've got time for on today's show. Please, I was about to say, please press the videos that have just appeared on the desk. But that's a YouTube thing. You can try it if you
want.
It's not going to work, though. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with this SmackDown review. Don't think anything has been announced for SmackDown. But I'd imagine that Becky Lynch will do some stuff. And that's always fun. So we'll see you then. Take care. Love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.